He was very frustrated that the Democrats were making this about him when he's like, look, I threw the guy out of my club. I am the guy who reported him to the police, or one of the people who reported him to the police.
I would bet my whole life savings on everything. God, crush my balls if I'm wrong. Donald Trump did not turn Epstein into the FBI ever. And there is an easy way to know that, because if he did, they would have been talking about it nonstop for 10 years. Ex-police chief said Trump told him in 2006, everyone knew of Epstein's behavior. This sounds like you're covering your ass. Oh, I saw you guys were looking into that guy that I had to kick out of my club twice because he took one of our 15-year-old girls to work as a prostitute. Everybody knows about this dude, by the way. Not that was not just that. Everybody knew about that, okay? Everybody has known about this guy for a long time. I don't know why I know. I might be the first one calling you about it, but everyone... out of here with this bull... My God.
Mr. Vice President, thank you for being with us. Now, you came into office with clear momentum, but when I talk to my friends and family who supported you in the president, still support you in the president, one issue comes up time and time again, and it's the economy. Inflation's up, wages are down, gas prices are starting to drop at news of this Iran deal, which we will get to.
Sure.
What can you say to voters who trusted you to lower costs on day one, and will they be satisfied by November?
Well, I think that's ultimately up to the voters, right? I think voters have every right to expect as much as possible out of their elected representatives. We certainly know that we were elected on a number of mandates. One was to close the border, which I think we've done successfully, exceeded expectations there. Number two was to lower prices, and there's a lot of work to do, in large part because of what's happened over the last few months in the Middle East. But as you said, oil, which got up to $120 a barrel, now is at $80 a barrel. That's going to be reflected in lower fuel, lower food, lower energy prices, but there's a lot more work to do. The thing that I'm proudest about most, because you know, as some of you may know, I grew up in one of these towns that was forgotten by the leaders of Washington and both parties, is that you're seeing that's Middletown, Ohio. That's my hometown in southwestern Ohio. It was a proud steel town. I was raised by my grandfather, who was a union steel worker, is that those jobs disappeared. Those factories closed down. The thing that I'm most excited about is you do see a large amount of capital investment coming into our country. Factories being built, construction jobs are way up, manufacturing jobs are starting to catch up. So there's a lot more work to do. I think that we're making progress, but ultimately we're gonna make our pitch to the voters in November, and they're the ones who get to decide whether we've done a good job or not, and that's how they're gonna vote.
Okay. So President Trump has called affordability a hoax. He said that, not me. He's pouring money into this ballroom of his and the reflecting pool. Oh, don't forget the arch to Trumpay, I call it. And a White House cage match. All these things. Why is he doing them when everybody knows that Americans are struggling? What is he spending all this money for?
Well, I got to defend the president on the hoax point. What the president said is the idea that Republicans caused the affordability problem is a hoax. And I think that's true. If you go back to the Biden administration, inflation got up to 9% under the Biden administration. Okay. Right. Right now it's at 3.5%. By the way, too high. We're doing everything that we can to bring it back down to 2.5%, which is where most people would like to see it. But we inherited an affordability problem. We're doing a lot to make it better. It's going to take a little bit of time. There's a lot more work to do. But the president knows that a lot of Americans are struggling. In fact, he ran on that. He talked about it. And we've done some things and made some good progress on that point.
He just said he loves the inflation.
What he said, Anna. What he said is that he loves the fact that the inflation is going to come down when this war is over. That's what he said.
Are you his interpreter or are you his vice president?
Well, look, what the president said, people were asking about the inflation. They were asking about the affordability problem, which again is very real. And what he said is, I love the inflation because it's going to come down when the war is over. And now, again, we already see gas prices today, $4.06 a gallon, too high, but way down from where they were just a couple of weeks ago. So there's a lot we got to do, but I think that we're doing as much as we can. We're going to keep on working at it. And again, the American people are going to make their verdict, but I think that we have a very credible case to run on, that we brought a lot of new investment. We're building the factories. That is going to pay serious dividends for the American people over the long.
When? Any thoughts on JD? I don't know anything anymore. I feel like there's this attempt to launder JD's reputation. Maybe because he gave that leak to the New York Times about the Netanyahu shit. I saw a tweet earlier by The Atlantic. JD Vance's new book is a rumination on matters ethical and spiritual, a perhaps not so subtle way to show how he's different from the current occupant of the White House. VM Salama reports. She spoke with the VP, who told her he's trying to curse less. I just don't understand how things have gotten so bad and normalized. Like, if you want people to be okay with you 13-year-olds, you just have to go out every single day to the media and talk about how you should be able to fuck 6-year-olds. And that's the entire story of American politics right now. And it's just unfucking believable to me how stupid that can be. I don't know. I don't understand.
If you look at manufacturing jobs.
Okay.
Those jobs are increasing at a large number. Construction jobs are doing a little bit better. So what happens is the construction jobs to build the factories, and then the manufacturing workers go back to work. That also leads to rising wages. That's one of the things that I'm very proud of. So if you look at the amount that wages are going up now compared to, say, 2022.
What do you mean? As in, if you were out here defending the 6-year-olds long enough, eventually people don't think 13-year-olds that bad. That's where we're at. Like, everything is so far beyond the pale that when they come back to having shades of humanity in them, people are like, oh, well, no, well, this is really good now, right? And it's like, the fuck? What are you talking about?
they're going up way faster. That's a good thing. The affordability problem. Again, gas, way too high right now. Certain things, way too high. You know, rents have been either flat or down for 12 months now. So there are things that are showing signs of life, things that are showing signs of progress. My view, I'm sure you guys don't agree with it, is that we inherited a mess and we're fixing it. But sometimes it takes a long time to fix a mess.
Sonny, okay. Mr. Vice President, according to a new report from the New York Times, you were the leading voice behind the scenes to release the Epstein files, and we applaud you for that. And you warned top officials, including top DOJ officials, at strategy meetings taking place inside the Situation Room. We understand that there are tapes of those meetings.
This is a, like, The View is historically, culturally, a far left, I would say, far leftish, socially, culturally, not Marxist, but like they're like wokies. And it's kind of crazy to see him getting a softball interview on The View. I don't know. I feel like in the past that it's just not something you would think about.
That this was a huge problem for the base. The report says you even floated having Tucker Carlson interview Ghislaine Maxwell to clear the president's name, but you were rebuffed by your...
Except when they had Meghan McCain. How long? Meghan McCain was on for that long, no?
People. Why?
Well, I'd say, first of all, don't believe everything that you read in any newspaper, whether it's a right-leaning paper or a left-leaning paper, because as you guys know, well, there are things that are true, things that are false, and things that are totally missing context. Well, here's what I'll say. So, number one, I am, frankly, kind of a conspiracy theory on the Epstein stuff, and that story says that that's one of the things that's true, is that some people called me a conspiracy theory on the Epstein stuff. And I love Susie, but absolutely, she thinks I'm a conspiracy theorist on the Epstein stuff, because I think that it's crazy that you had this guy who is clearly a sex predator who was hanging out with a lot of very wealthy and powerful people. Like, that really bothered me. I don't know what's there, of course. Nobody knows exactly what happened unless you were there, but that really bothered me, and I wanted to have full transparency. What I disagree with is the idea that the White House wasn't committed to full transparency. We have to remember, like, I was inside the room when some of these decisions were made. The Epstein Files Transparency Act, the one that the president signed, the one that led to all these files that we're seeing, the emails, by the way.
I just so not mind fucking stuff. Can somebody link me that there was an interview at a Square table? I want to say it was from Kamala and Walls. I want to say it was a New York Times interview. Can somebody link me the one I'm thinking of?
Boy, again, sorry, do I have to defend my boss? I know you guys don't always appreciate this, but you know, one of the things you see in the Epstein emails is that Jeffrey Epstein.
Your buddy Josiah thought this was a tough interview. Josiah, like pondering politics?
Hated Donald Trump, and that Donald Trump literally reported Jeffrey Epstein to the police. That's one of the things that came out of
these
files.
They were best friends for about a decade. And remember, he signed that transparency.
I know you guys don't always appreciate this, but you know, one of the things you see in the Epstein emails is that Jeffrey Epstein hated Donald Trump, and that Donald Trump literally reported Jeffrey Epstein to the police. That is,
I have never seen a shred of evidence. Everything he's saying, he's getting layup, not quite layup questions, but he's getting easy, I'm sorry. If you're going to ask a question, and then I get to respond in whatever way I want, and there are no follow-ups, you're giving me a chance to establish a clean record. That's what you're doing, right? I get to say, oh, so Destiny, people said that it was really crazy when you beat the shit out of your wife. A lot of people have made a lot of accusations about me. I would like to point out that there's absolutely no evidence that I hurt her at all. And every single thing that she's done her entire life has been to attack and kill everybody around me. And she's murdered my whole family and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so you were a StarCraft II player. Like, the lack of follow-up on anything, that's a hallmark of a friendly interview. Oh, I think this might be the... Yeah, this is the one I was thinking of on CNN. Not... People don't know what a tough question is. They're actually tough questions, but they know literally nothing apart from the first layer, so they can't follow it up at all. Kind of. A tough question I need to break out a second note for the interview stuff. A tough question is when you're held to answer it. A tough question requires a follow-up or guidance because you can't just be allowed to ramble off without actually addressing what's being asked or have a follow-up to like hold you to task on an answer that you give. That's a tough question. If you just give ask a question and then there's no follow-up and you can just answer however you want, it's not really a tough question. I'm trying to think. Remember, CNN, I grew up listening to this was called the Commie News Network, okay? That's what my mom called it. That's what Michael Savage called it. This is the Commie News Network, okay? I'm just curious if my recollection of this interview being a fairly tough interview is correct.
Madam Vice President, Governor Walz, thank you so much for sitting down with me and bringing the bus. The bus tour is well underway here in Georgia. You have less time to make your case to voters than any candidate in modern American history. The voters are really eager to hear what your plans are. If you are elected, what would you do on day one in the White House?
I
will tell you, first and foremost, one of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class. When I look at the aspirations, the goals, the ambitions of the American people, I think that people are ready for a new way forward. In a way that generations of Americans have been fueled by hope and by optimism. I think, sadly, in the last decade, We have had in the former president someone who has really been pushing an agenda since day one.
These things that the vice president's proposing are, well, I'm excited about the
housing, a big issue in our country right now. So there are a number of things on day one. What about you?
Well, I'm excited about this agenda, too. As I said, the child, I think,
aware that
we can make.
You talk about, you call it the opportunity economy. You are well aware that right now many Americans are struggling. There's a crisis of affordability. Yeah. One of your campaign themes is we're not going back. But I wonder what you say to voters.
This type of, this style of comment, this is like a correct the record with no question thing. Caitlin Collins is really good at that. That's a hostile interview question. So when you, that's not fair. I shouldn't say hostile, but how many songs do you want to write when you're the music teacher at the school? I think we should write like hundreds of songs, and these are my plans, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And then just to be clear, right now, only 2 songs a year are being written. So my next question, this type of like correct the record thing, I love it when Collins does it to conservatives because she doesn't let him get away with the bullshit. But that wasn't, it's hard because there's the extra layer of challenges that Kamala is the vice president while this is happening. So when she does these like correct the record things, it reflects poorly on Kamala, even though it's technically about Biden's presidency. She's the vice president, right? Yeah.
Crisis of affordability. Yeah. One of your campaign themes is we're not going back. But I wonder what you say to voters who do want to go back when it comes to the economy specifically, because their groceries were less expensive. Housing was more affordable when Donald Trump was president. Well, let's start with the fact that when Joe Biden.
Damn, that's just a crazy question. Okay.
Biden and I came in office. During the height of a pandemic, we saw over 10 million jobs were lost.
True.
Literally, we were all tracking the numbers. Hundreds of people a day were dying because of COVID. The economy.
One of the most annoying things is that the media overwhelmingly loves and caters to Trump, even the supposed liberal outlets. Yeah, it is very annoying.
It crashed. In large part, all of that because of mismanagement by Donald Trump of that crisis. When we came in, our highest priority was to do what we could to rescue America. And today, we know that we have inflation at under 3%. A lot of our policies have led to the reality that America recovered faster than any wealthy nation around the world. But you are right. Prices, in particular for groceries, are still too high. The American people know it. I know it. Which is why my agenda includes what we need to do to bring.
Okay. We're at the beginning of my stream, so I'm not going to get mad at chat. I see a lot of people saying, like, shouldn't they ask these questions? A good journalist should give challenging questions, though. So I see a lot of people saying things like this. Yes, I agree. But it only happens on the left. And remember, the conservatives say that CNN is the commie news network. This is the far-left, ultra-lib-cucked platform. And they're getting real questions. Donald Trump gets none of these ever. Even when Donald Trump goes on these platforms, he doesn't get questions this hard.
Down the price of groceries, for example, dealing with an issue like price gouging, what we need to do to extend the child tax credit to help young families be able to take care of their children in their most formative years, what we need to do to bring down the cost of housing. My proposal includes what would be a tax credit of $25,000 for first-time home buyers so they can just have enough to put a down payment for children in their most formative years. What we need to do to extend the child tax credit to help young families be able to take care of their children in their most formative years.
So we have actionable points. We've got like specific policies.
My proposal includes what would be a tax credit of $25,000 for first-time home
buyers. You've got like problem identification and then her policy prescription.
So they can just have enough to put a down payment on the path to achieving that goal and that dream. So you have been vice president for 3.5 years. Yeah. The steps that you're talking about now, why haven't you done them already?
Sheesh! This is a super confrontational question. How many times do you think Trump got asked? I don't know, maybe he did a lot. I just missed every single time. Why didn't you do this in your first term, Mr. President? Damn. And she's the VP. You also have to understand, too, the difficulty of answering all these questions is she has to be able to. One of the big issues, I think, that was like an undertone of Kamala's entire campaign was I want to do better than where we're at right now because I can't acknowledge that we've made a good recovery right now because there's a lot of people that are unhappy with things. But also I can't throw my current president under the bus because I'm kind of running on his legacy / presidency, not only because he's a Democrat and I'm a Democrat, but because I'm literally the vice president, right? But like Kamala can't do any of the things that are being asked about right now as VP. Now, maybe the interviewer could ask, why hasn't Biden done them or why haven't you pushed Biden to do them? But Biden's also done a lot of stuff. The coming in on the back of a crisis, bro, is just diabolical. It's the most diabolical conservative plan. It's just, it's so diabolical how much they can fuck everything and how stupid the average Ameritard is to not fuck it. Like, Clinton
helps with Good Friday. Clinton, the best push from any U.S. president ever to almost solve the Israel-Palestine problem. First budget, or the last budget deficit we ever fucking had. And then we get Bush, Iraq and Afghanistan war. Whoosh. Jesus Christ. Ends with the housing crisis. Okay, fine. Obama's in for 8 years. We claw our way back. No Supreme Court justice. Why? I don't know, I guess. McConnell says, fuck you. Manages to push through revolutionary U.S. healthcare, I don't know if we call it reform, but legislation, all right? Barely blocked on a public option. One vote in the Senate. Next president, Donald Trump. COVID. Massive tax cut. Explode the deficit even more. Biden has to come in, cleans all of this shit up. Fuck. Everyone on the planet wants to go fucking crazy. You get Israel-Palestine exploding. Some would say off the backs of the Abraham Accords, off the backs of moving the embassy to Jerusalem, because now the Palestinians are, wow, lo and behold, in another figure, in another position where they feel like they're not being heard again. Some people call it the Al-Aqsa flood or the Third Intifada, right? Kind of crazy. Why did the second one start? Oh, because the Camp David talks fell through and they felt like they had no options. And lo and behold, 5 years of terrorism. Wow, who could have ever saw that coming, right? And then Russia invades fucking Ukraine. Okay, Jesus fucking Christ. Then Biden's gone. Now we're at another Republican president. Oh, now we're at war with Iran. What the fuck? And Americans will still walk away and they're like, man, yeah, both sides are kind of fucked up. Hello? It's crazy. It's crazy to me.
Well, first of all, we had to recover as an economy, and we have done that. I'm very proud of the work that we have done that has brought inflation down to less than 3%. The work that we have done to cap the cost of insulin at $35 a month for seniors. Donald Trump said he was going to do a number of things, including allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices. Never happened. We did it. So now, that has brought inflation down to less.
These are really good answers. So things that identify problem, a thing that Trump failed to act on, that Biden did act on. By the way, that cap for some prescription drug things is a thing that carried through to the Trump admin that they try to take credit for now, by the way.
Less than 3%. The work that
which they do, and the American people give them credit for that. Americans be like, well, didn't Trump cap... Oh, my brain's out. Another thing Americans do, Israelis, Jewish people. Well, at least Trump freed some hostages. Biden freed like twice as many. You don't give a fuck. You're retarded.
We have done to cap the cost of insulin at $35 a month.
I just want
to
play video games, okay? Games. We're
almost
done with
this. Donald Trump said he's going to do a number of things, including allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices. Never happened. We did it. So now, as I travel in the state of Georgia and around our country, the number of seniors that have benefited, I was in Nevada recently, a grandmother who showed me her receipts. And before we capped the cost of insulin for seniors at $35 a month, she was paying hundreds of dollars up to thousands of dollars a month for her insulin. She's not doing that
you
anymore.
You maintain Bidenomics is a success.
I maintain.
Jeez, you maintain. And then the crucifixion to the Biden presidency, Bidenomics. Like, damn, Bidenomics was, we came in, it's such an unfair game, bro. It's such a crazy game that you have to play with these fucking people. Holy shit.
Maintain that when we do the work of bringing down prescription medication for the American people, including capping the cost of the annual cost of prescription medication for seniors at $2,000, when we do what we did in the first year of being in office to extend the child tax credit so that we cut child poverty in America by over 50%, when we do what we have done to invest in the American people and bringing manufacturing back to the United States so that we created over...
Look at what you could have had. She can speak coherently. Look at Hillary, bro. How many times I heard people say things like, I don't think Kamala was qualified for presidency, so that's why I supported Trump. And it's like... Do you want me to kill myself? Is that what you're trying to make me do?
Over 800,000 new manufacturing jobs.
Remember all the weird things, but remember what I said about the media funnel. When you're at the top, you can push whatever you want. What did people think? Does anybody remember the phrase anymore? What did people think about Kamala speaking? Anybody remember this? What do they call it? Yep, the word salad. I remember the goofiest thing that they had for Kamala. They spammed this clip so much. What was it? It was like... something about, like, you fall out of a coconut tree. And people, like, made this, like, a huge thing.
Everything is in context. My mother used to, she would give us a hard time sometimes, and she would say to us, I don't know what's wrong with you young people. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live. And
people were like, I can't believe, this woman is crazy. Bro. I don't. I don't know, man.
Bringing business back to America. What we have done to improve the supply chain so we're not relying on foreign governments to supply American families with their basic needs, I'll say that that's good work. There's more to do, but that's good work.
I want to get some clarity on where you stand on some key policy issues. Energy is a big one. When you were in Congress, you supported the Green New Deal. And in 2019, you said, quote,
but that's good work.
I want to get some clarity on where you stand on some key policy issues. Energy is a big one. When you were in Congress, you supported the Green New Deal. And in 2019, you said, quote, there is no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. Fracking, as you know, is a pretty big issue, particularly in your must-win state of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Do you still want to ban fracking?
Sheesh! Swing state, question about fracking. Energy is obviously a huge thing. I think when she was the comments that she made here would have been referring to when she was in the primary for president, I think in 2020. So different, a much different climate at the time in terms of there wasn't the Russian-Ukraine war. It was just not the – I think the energy shit really peaked in terms of an cost in like 2022, right? 2022, early 2023?
No, and I made that clear on the debate stage in 2020 that I would not ban fracking. As vice president, I did not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
In 2019, I believe, in a town hall, you said you were asked, would you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking on your first day in office? And you said, there's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yeah.
Sheesh! With the follow-up quote! Boom! With the follow-up quote! The follow-up, and it's not even the right...
You asked, would you commit to implementing fracking?
What was the year?
In 2019, I believe.
And in the 2019... That's hostile interview. And again, make no mistake, I'm not saying that hostile interviews are necessarily like immoral. Like I think hostile interviews, especially for politicians running for office, like for the presidency, I think hostile interviews are fine. They should be doing that. If you're not giving a hostile interview, you're doing free press for them, right? But Jesus.
In a town hall, you said you were asked, would you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking on your first day in office? And you said, there's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So yes. So it changed in that campaign?
In 2020, I made very clear where I stand. We are in 2024, and I've not changed that position, nor will I going forward. I kept my word, and I will keep my word.
What made you change that position at the time?
Well, let's be clear. My values have not changed. I believe it is very important that...
Do you think they ask these kinds of questions only because they know Dems will actually answer them? They don't bother with real questions to Trump because they know he's incapable, so they just abandon their journalistic... No. That's one way you could look at it, but don't... No. It's like when people say they're afraid of me... Or they're afraid of my community, and then they talk about how afraid they are of me by shitting me for years, right? It doesn't seem like you're very afraid of me, okay? When all these people, you know, we're all up in the Democratic censorship and afraid of the Democratic administration and all the horrible things the Democrats were doing and the political prosecutions and everything else, they would say that. But what has Trump been doing now that he's in office, right? Pressuring the FEC to actually fire certain people. Colbert's show is gone now, right? Kimmel was gone for a little bit until the uproar, you know, stopped that. You've got Barry Weiss now smearing her disgusting fucking propaganda on every network she can get her grubby, disgusting fucking fingers on. You've got Trump truthing out shit about, this was a while ago, but I mean, nobody gives a fuck about anything. Remember, it's the, say you want to fuck 6-year-olds and eventually people will be okay with you fucking 13-year-olds. This is the American politics right now. Trump was literally truthing out that maybe Mark Zuckerberg should go to prison for life. You know, how are you a person looking at this stuff? How can you not think that maybe this is kind of impacting the way people are approaching how they do media? Maybe they don't want Trump to... you know, destroy their entire lives, destroy their families, start, you know, investigating them or whatever else, right? I imagine that probably plays a little bit into people's minds as well.
Position at the time.
Well, let's be clear. My values have not changed. I believe it is very important that we take seriously what we must do to guard against what is a clear crisis in terms of the climate. And to do that, we can do what we have accomplished thus far. The Inflation Reduction Act, what we have done to invest, by my calculation, over probably $1 trillion over the next 10 years, investing in a clean energy economy, what we've already done, creating over 300,000 new clean energy jobs. That tells me, from my experience as vice president, we can do it without banning fracking. In fact, Dana, I cast the tie-breaking vote that actually increased leases for fracking as vice president. So I'm very clear about where I stand. And
that's a super good answer. Jesus. Another comeback on for the policy thing, yeah.
There's some policy or scientific data that you saw that you said, oh, okay, I get it now.
What I have seen is that we can...
That's a second follow-up. She asked, what made you change your mind? And then she answered, and now she's at now another follow-up. I'm sorry, Jesus. It's just crazy, the difference. And then back to this.
They were best friends for about a decade. And remember, he signed that Transparency Act under duress when some Republican women, congresswomen like Lauren Boebert, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, did not give in to his pressure of not signing. He brought Lauren Boebert into the Situation Room to pressure her into caving on not voting for that bill.
So let me respond to that. So
that's all true.
Let me.
Wait, was that in support of signing? Hold on.
We understand that there are tapes of those meetings, that this was a huge problem for the base. The report says you even floated having Tucker Carlson interview Ghislaine Maxwell to clear the president's name, but you were rebuffed by your people. Why?
Well, I'd say, first of all, don't believe everything that you read in any newspaper, whether it's a right-leaning paper or a left-leaning paper, because as you guys know, well, there are things that are true, things that are false, and things that are totally missing context. Well, here's what I'll say. So, number one, I am, frankly, kind of a conspiracy theory on the Epstein stuff, and that story says that that's one of the things that's true, is that some people called me a conspiracy theory on
the
Epstein stuff. And I love Susie, but absolutely, she thinks I'm a conspiracy theorist on the Epstein stuff, because I think that it's crazy that you had this guy who was clearly a sex predator who was hanging out with a lot of very wealthy and powerful people. Like, that really bothered me. I don't know what's there, of course. Nobody knows exactly what happened unless you were there, but that really bothered me, and I wanted to have full transparency. What I disagree with is the idea that the White House wasn't committed to full transparency. We have to remember, like, I was inside the room when some of these decisions were made. The Epstein Files Transparency Act, the one that the president signed, the one that led to all these files that we're seeing, the emails, by the way, again, sorry, do I have to defend my boss? I know you guys don't always appreciate this, but, you know, one of the things you see in the Epstein emails is that Jeffrey Epstein hated Donald Trump, and that Donald Trump literally reported Jeffrey Epstein to the police. That's one of the things that came out of these files.
They were best friends for about a decade. And remember, he signed that Transparency Act under duress when some Republican women, congresswomen like Lauren Boebert, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, did not give in to his pressure of not signing. He brought Lauren Boebert into the Situation Room to pressure her into caving on not voting for that bill.
So let me respond to that. So
that's all true.
Let me respond to that. So number one is, yes,
that's
Donald Trump, he said this.
Pushback.
He knew Jeffrey Epstein back in the 1980s. He also threw Jeffrey Epstein out of his club when he found out he was a creep and reported him to the police.
The second time. Never reported to police. That's a fucking lie. But he can just lie, I guess, and nobody cares.
Something that the media often misses when it reports the story. They tell us the fact that they knew each other in the 80s, which the president himself admits. They ignore the fact that he narked on him.
The 80s?
The police, and led ultimately to Jeffrey Epstein's down.
Never narked. That's not true.
To that point, Anna, you know the Republican Party. Well, it's one of the things that led to law enforcement investigation. But on the point that you made,
it was allegedly over a real estate deal that they hadn't got into a fight over.
But the email says,
they didn't just know each other. Let's just be truthful and transparent. They didn't just know each other. They were incredibly close friends.
He reported him to the police. That's what I'm saying. That is objective. That is objectively true.
But
I don't even know when they started trying to push this lie. I know that Ron Johnson tried to lie about this one time, but
another point that I think I would be, if I may, because Anna made a very important point. This question about, did Donald Trump release these files only under duress from Republicans? And Anna, you know the Republican Party probably better than I do. The idea that Donald Trump runs around afraid of Republican congressmen as opposed to the other way around is kind of crazy.
Well, it was bipartisan. But
because the Republicans control the House and the Senate, particularly the Senate, you need the Republican sign off. What the president,
not Ron Johnson, sorry, Mike Johnson,
did is, look,
is Ron Johnson is that the name of the guy in Anchorman?
I will say this.
Or am I thinking Ron Swanson? No, I don't even know.
Again, I was in there in the meeting. He was very frustrated that the Democrats were making this about him. And he's like, look, I threw the guy out of my club. I am the guy who reported him to the police, or one of the people who reported him to the police. The president was frustrated about that. Absolutely. But he eventually came to say, you know what? Let's just get everything out there. Let's have this out in the public. And he actually called the senators. I was there. He called the senators and said, you know what? Pass this bill. I'll sign it. And that was it.
Let me follow up briefly. Let me follow up briefly.
Yes.
It sounds like you believed that there would be men in the files who would be held accountable. Rightfully so. And the American people are with you on this. Why haven't we seen the release of over 2.5 million additional Epstein file documents? It seems like you are someone that is on the right side of history on this.
So we've released, I think it's 6 million files or 6 million pages of documents. My understanding is the 2.5 million, Sonny, I'm going to check on this to make sure, but my understanding is that a lot of those are duplicates of things that have already been released. We're not holding anything back. Some of those things are, like, the courts have to order you to release them. So that was one thing that we confronted. You talk about these Situation Room meetings is, you know, there's a big bunch of files that existed, I think, in the Southern District of New York, or maybe it was some other jurisdiction, but we were like, we want to release these files, but you need the court approval in order to release the files. Sometimes we would apply to release the files and the courts would say no. So those particular documents, I would need to actually, like, know exactly what you're talking about.
3.5 million documents were released, and my understanding is 2.5 million have not been.
Those may have been the ones that are under court too. I don't know what the documents you're talking about.
Well,
I'm telling you,
let me go to break. Because people are looking at me. Going.
And let's talk about the book. I'm here to sell books. Communion. Buy my book, please.
You should do a solid stream segment on the reported him to the police bull. So insane. The problem is just that, like, nobody knows anything about anything, and it's just hard because nobody has this. It's like civics are, for this, it's a matter of not law, but I know the origination of this. Oh my God, it triggered the fuck out of me so much. There was civil litigation relating to one of the women that was going to sue Trump or something, and the way that this scum, skeevy loser fuck lawyer, the way that he phrased this was that Donald Trump was, like, the only honest guy, because what Donald Trump did was, instead of waiting for the whole court process and all this, he called me directly and he was like, hey, listen, why don't you just tell me, you know, what is it that you need to know about the Epstein guy? And he called me, you know, directly to answer, to, you know, to offer up information like that. That is the exact opposite of what that is, okay? Is this the Lena Habeck where she fucked a female? I don't know what it was. I just know that you calling to have a direct conversation is you saying, I don't want to be deposed, I don't want to be subpoenaed, and I don't want to say shit under oath or testify anywhere, okay? So let's say if I have a phone call, we'll figure this shit out. It's the exact opposite of like a good faith engagement with the process. Did he sign a fucking affidavit anywhere? Did he agree to sit for a deposition anywhere? Did he agree to fucking testify? No, the direct call to a lawyer to try to make it so that you don't have to be brought in on anything on paper is to pretend that that was like, and I feel like, I think that's the origination for the Trump called the police on Trump and he cooperated with everything and blah, some bullshit. It's absolute fucking bullshit.
Eventually we will, but this is a good opportunity for us to get some clarity
of
on
course.
Stuff.
Great.
We'll be back with more with Vice President Jody Burns.
That wasn't a lawyer, it was an FBI agent who said that. Wait, really? Link me. Oh, is there another meme that is somewhere? I would bet my whole life savings on everything. God crush my balls if I'm wrong. Donald Trump did not turn Epstein into the FBI ever. And there is an easy way to know that, because if he did, they would have been talking about it nonstop for 10 years. That's easiest thing in the world to know, 100%. Ex-police chief said Trump told him in 2006, everyone knew of Epstein's behavior. A former Florida police chief said he received a call from Donald Trump in 2006 in which the now president told him everyone knows about Jeffrey Epstein's behavior, according to an FBI document released by the Justice Department. Documents written, record, blah, blah, blah. Alleges Trump called him after the department launched an investigation. Epstein has said, thank goodness you're stopping him. Everyone has known he's been doing this. This sounds like you're covering your ass. Hey. Oh, I saw you guys were looking into that guy that I had to kick out of my club twice because he took one of our 15-year-old girls to work as a prostitute. Everybody knows about this dude, by the way. Everybody knew about that, okay? Everybody has known about this guy for a long time. I don't know why I know. I might be the first one calling you about it, but everyone... Fuck out of here with this bull... My God. Get me the fuck out of here with this bull... Link me the two girls clip. Link me. Give me the two girls one. I want the two girls one. I remember this. Oh my God. The one where Donald Trump lets slip outside of, is it still Air Force One when it's a helicopter? That he's like, yeah. So, you know, Epstein took one of our underage girls. And it was horrible. But when he took the second one, we had to kick him out. What the fuck? Oh, it might be this one. Oh, it wasn't a helicopter.
You're saying that Jeffrey Epstein poached...
No, I think it was one where he was outside near a helicopter, I thought. Am I crazy?
Back from his...
Maybe it wasn't this one.
Two of your staffers, who were they?
Yeah, I don't want to say two, or I don't want to say any number. You're talking about many years ago. But yeah, he took people and...
Oh, no, it was this one. Maybe I only saw the audio, or I heard the, like, saw an audio thing before, and I didn't actually see the physical video, so.
Because he took people, I said, don't do it anymore. You know, they work for me. And he took...
Don't do it anymore! And he references, I think, the girl who fucking killed herself!
Just to button up on Mar-a-Lago, you're saying that Jeffrey Epstein poached two of your staffers?
Two?
I don't want to say two, or I don't want to say any number. You're talking about many years ago, but, yeah, he took people. And because he took people, I said, don't do it anymore. You know, they work for me. And he took... beyond that, he took some others. And once he did that, that was the end of him. I didn't like when they steal people, I don't like it.
Mr. President, Epstein has a certain reputation, obviously. Just curious, were some of the workers that were taken from you, were some of them young women?
Were some of the workers young women? Well, I don't want to say, but...
I'm not going to say. It was a Jewish woman.
Everyone knows... the people that were taken, and it was the concept of taking people that work for me is bad, but that story has been pretty well out there, and the answer is yes, they were. Yeah.
What did they do?
In the spa. Yeah, people that work in the spa. I have a great spa, one of the best spas in the world at Mar-a-Lago, and people were taken out of the spa, hired by him. In other words, gone. And other people would come and complain, this guy is taking people from the spa. I didn't know that. And then when I heard about it, I told him, I said, listen, we don't want you taking our people, whether it was spa or not spa. I don't want him taking people. And he was fine. And then not too long after that, he did it again. And I said, out of here.
Mr. President,
why do you even why would you willingly? It's crazy, dude. If Biden, if the Clintons, if anybody had any clip even remotely like this, bruh.
The stolen, you know, persons, that include Virginia Effery?
I don't know. I think she worked at the spa.
Why did Trump have kids working in his spa? Because the thing that is the most thing about the Epstein files is that people want to make it sound like the Epstein files was this like unbelievably crazy, terrible, horrible thing. And oh my God, this old dude might have fucked the 17-year-old that he was blah, 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 blah. When the reality is for a huge portion of human history. And if you go way, way, way back in U.S. history to like 1999, it was ordinary business that older dudes would hit on 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old girls all the fucking time and would absolutely fuck them if they thought they could get away with it, or that their wives wouldn't catch them, or if somebody else was helping them do it. 100%. That's the actual reality of it. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all this guy hired teenagers to work at his fucking spa thing. And when I say teenagers, I mean like teenagers, not like 18, 19, but like below.
I think so. I think that was one of the people. Yeah. He stole her.
The Virginia girl.
And by the way, she had no complaints about us, as you know.
She just killed herself, right? Or relatively recently? Like before this?
None whatsoever.
We've seen how good your security.
We are back with Vice President J.D. Vance. Sarah, you got the question.
Yes, Mr. Vice President. In your new book, Communion, you write about your personal evolution with faith from evangelical to atheist to Catholic convert. And you also explain your evolution similarly on Trump.
What are the chances that Trump is a pedophile? That's a pretty wild statement to be making. That what Trump just said? I don't know. I don't think he fucked any underage people. I think it would have leaked by now. That's always been my position. And he would have bragged about it to people. He would have called into a radio show and he would have bragged about how many 16-year-olds he was bagging if he actually did it. That's my feeling, but
Trump, from calling him America's Hitler to America's best hope. Now, as someone who has admitted to chasing ambition, which you write about in the book, in the past, but now says your faith brought you back to your priorities, I have to kind of use your own words that sit with me from 2016.
Sure.
Fellow Christians, everyone is watching when we apologize for this man. Lord, help us. And I think about that all the time, because as a fellow Christian, that is something that weighs on my heart as I watch this country and the leadership at the top, because it's also something I have to explain to my kids, which I know we also share, this idea that our greatest privilege and responsibility are these young people we're raising.
Of course.
So help me find the words to explain to my children what they're witnessing right now.
Well, you know, first of all, it's been well covered that I was a critic of Donald Trump back in 2015, 2016. Now, obviously, I'm sitting here as the Vice President of the United States in the Trump administration. Well, Joy, little humility, actually. I think that when you make predictions and those predictions turn out to be false, you got to ask yourself, well, what made me wrong about that? What did I not understand or not appreciate? For example, I said that Donald Trump's economic policies would not lead to.
I don't know if he was okay with Epstein liking them young like that. You don't think he ever tried that? Okay. Don't misunderstand me when I say this, okay? But I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. If you were fucking 16 or 17-year-olds back then, you were probably considered like pretty cool, and Trump would want to be in that environment. But Trump comes off to me as an actual fucking nerd loser who like didn't really fit in, but always wanted to, so it would like make it available to people around him. So like, it wouldn't surprise me, for instance, if Trump has never done a drug in his life. If he doesn't drink, if he doesn't do cocaine, hasn't tried it, it would absolutely not surprise, because he absolutely comes off like that. I think he's maintained for his whole life that he doesn't do any drugs ever at all. He just seems like an incredibly kind of like dorky, goofy dude who has a fuck ton of money, access, was born with a lot of it, and then like is like decently good at kind of sort of schmoozing people. But it super wouldn't surprise me if this guy was not like. That's, yeah, I don't know. That's just my feeling, but I could be wrong on that. I don't know.
To wage growth. They did in the first term. That was actually a major, major thing. I said that we couldn't bring back any of those factory jobs because I kind of had given into this idea that those jobs were disappearing. But actually, Donald Trump, you saw a manufacturing boom during that administration.
How does that explain the E.G. Carroll case? I didn't follow any of that literally at all. So I don't know any of the details whatsoever for any of that.
So, let me just, so there's a certain point where you say, you know, I made predictions about this. I ended up being wrong. Yeah. And in politics and anything, I think it's important to just say, you know what? I got some things wrong and I was wrong about him. He was a very successful president. It's one of the reasons why I've been so supportive of him.
You go on in the book to explain that good policy was maybe one of your justifications. But the quote and when you tweeted that or X'd it was not about policy. It was what.
So Trump is writing pedo poetry for Epstein's birthday just for the thrill of the game. The thing that references liking young women or whatever. It, like men, I'm sorry, but like men are just. men have always just been like fuck ultra creepy weird when it comes to young women. Like, I know that especially today, men are super invested in rewriting that narrative that like Epstein was like an especially heinous, disgusting, crazy individual or whatever. But the reality is 30, 40 years ago, if you're my age, you remember movies that regularly, you know, made jokes about fucking 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. It was a subplot line in that, in the one, the movie I watched, I think it's several months ago, the Waiters movie or whatever, is the Green Lantern guy wanted to fuck a 17-year-old server. The idea that this was like an exceptionally evil thing, I think, is a narrative rewrite that men are especially invested in, but that's just been the history of men and women. You could go talk to the average woman and, you know, they start getting sexual advances from men when they turn like 9 or 10. That is when they start. So
Christians were willing to excuse. And that's the part I can't get past. What are you willing to excuse in the name of power?
Well,
but that's like satire? No, it's absolutely not satire. There was a subreddit called Pedobait. It was a huge subreddit on Reddit like 15 years ago. What? Or no, I'm sorry. It was Jailbait. Same thing, whatever. Like the whole point of, that's how I view it in my mind. The fascination and obsession with young women for a variety of reasons. Again, I understand why, especially men, want to rewrite these things as like exceptionally evil, terrible, horrible things. But men have always been insanely fucking weird and creepy about pursuing or predatoring super ultra fucking women. It is what it is. But
I would say fundamentally that one of the things I underappreciated about Donald Trump is that so many of the things that people said about...
How old was... aren't there like fucking underage in Titanic? Am I making this up? How... You know that... Is it Keira Knightley? Woman in Pirates of the Caribbean. No, it was... Oh, yeah, Keira Knightley. I think she was 17 for that movie. You know the movie Leon? Leon is not what I'm talking about. That's a cop-out. That's a fucking pop-out, okay? No. Yeah, when people used to do like countdowns to when women would turn 18 for the Olsen twins, or is that, yeah, it's just, yeah.
Them weren't actually true. Again, you talk about humility. Okay, so I see Donald Trump, I see a clip of him, or I see even not even a clip of him, but reporting about something that he said, and I take it at face value. For example, let's just go back to one of the most controversial things Donald Trump said during the first term that I was wrong during the first.
Okay, final question. Why are you bothering being good faith to Trump? He would call you a pedo over 0.1% of the evidence. Well, because it's just not even true, and I don't give a all the things. Maybe if Trump was fucking kids, maybe he wouldn't have as much time to country over, okay? It's just the conspiratorial stuff, once that takes hold in the brain, it rots your brain from the inside out. You never come back from it. So I just think that fixating on the weird conspiracy shit is just never worth it.
Campaign is that I was led to believe by the stories. I read stories that said Donald Trump said that all Mexicans were rapists. He never said that. What he said is that the certain South American countries, Central American countries, were releasing criminals into our country, including Mexico. By the way, that was objectively true. So
there
it's not
no
so much Christians.
Fidel Castro did that in 1980 with the Mariel boatlift. There have been many, many journalists, including.
Yeah. Wow. Who are you? Blue collar guy with the PhD sociological take. Good job. Destiny, I work at a blue-collar job, and my 40 to 50-year-old coworkers still make insanely inappropriate comments about high schoolers. I am 22, and I would never say most of the shit they say. The Epstein stuff just feels like everybody wants to push a social issue onto a small group of people to kind of absolve everyone else, and by everyone else you mean men, of the sin. That is 100 trillion% true. That is exactly what it is, and that is all that it is. But that's okay. I don't even care right now about it, okay?
CNN, where you used to work and be my colleague, that have tried to find evidence of that. There is no evidence that Maduro was releasing people from insane asylums or jails like Fidel Castro did do. This was made up, and we just can't, you know, accept it without pushing back.
And Anna, we know that there were people who were released from prisons who were encouraged to come into the United States.
It wasn't like it was in the Mariel, Mr. Vice President. It wasn't where it was like a purposeful release. Open up the jails, open up the insane asylums, and let people flood Florida.
I was that in Miami. If you go, it may not have been like Mariel, but if you go back to the caravans that were happening in 22...
What was this even about?
Back again next week when we discuss the legendary question of all time. Old enough to count, old enough to mount? Question mark.
Okay. Stop.
2023, we know that those things were funded. They were in some way supported by the government.
Then
so I don't know how you define support or not support, but if people are encouraged to come into our country after having spent time in prison by their own governments, I think that's a problem.
Well, Vice President, can I just add one more thing? Because you do speak of, about immigration at length in this book.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I believe, as a Christian, I can tell my kids why it's important to have borders. I get that. There are laws, there are resources, I get all that things. It's much harder to explain when I see someone dragged out of a house or wrongly taken to a thing that isn't a violent criminal. It's a little more nuanced as a parent to try to say when someone's referred to as vermin or scum when I teach them in school about people that have done that.
Please don't. Okay. I have an audience of men. We try to keep this purely misogynistic. Okay. Don't send me down this rabbit hole again. Okay. It is not just men. Women get away with saying and doing way more inappropriate shit towards young men. It's just considered normal for an older woman to touch young guys inappropriately and even call them cute slash handsome and stuff. It is. But the reason why is because people view sex as a damaging thing for women and as an empowering thing for men. This is why female to male, old to young, will never be seen in the same light and shouldn't be seen in the same light as male to female, old to young. It's a totally different thing. There are, when you are fucked by a thing, you are socially seen as damaged, okay? That's why the woman has to give it up, right? That's why she gets fucked, right? So the idea that an older woman could do irreparable damage to a young man, psychologically, there might be some truth to that, but socially, it is a bankrupt position because nobody views it that way.
Before, but this is different. It's very hard as a parent and a Christian to say both things.
And you say in the book, you talk about this. You talk about this struggle.
And there are a million ways or questions that you can ask to prove that concept. Find a good Christian man or find a red pill dude or whatever. And it's like, okay, you want a woman with, give me some like qualifiers for it, right? At some point, you know, a low body count. Oh, okay. You want a woman with a low body count. All right. Just curious. There's two women that you could marry. One of them has a body count of 3. The other has a body count of 10. The one with the 3 has been by 3 guys, and the one with 10 has been with 10 women. Which one would you rather be with? The guy's choosing the 10 lesbian hookups every single time because it doesn't count. It's not even a real thing in a man's mind that lesbian shit it doesn't matter. They would take a woman with a body count of 50 lesbians over 5 men, over 5 dicks. Or ask a guy, and it's like, oh, like, I don't think male rape is taken seriously enough. It's not taken seriously. Oh, okay. You don't think male rape is taken seriously enough. Just curious. If you had to be subjected to 5 women mounting and riding you against your will, or one man f***ing you in the ass against your will, which one would you rather deal with? It's 5 women every time. It's not even close. We do not view these things socially, even remotely the same. So to pretend that the age gaps between older men and younger women or older women and younger men should be taken, that's fucking delusional. There's a reason why we don't take it the same, and no amount of like social signaling on it is ever going to make people take it the same until you start treating sex between both people the same, which we're not even close to. So, but who cares?
Internal struggle in the book, and you talk about moral trade-offs that result in favoring a strict migration policy without dehumanizing anyone. But listen, over 50 people have died in ICE custody. There are thousands of children, 6,200, that are being held in places like Dilley Detention Center. The people that have visited those detention centers, I don't know if you have, talk about the subhuman, infrahuman conditions, the lack of clean water, the lack of medical attention, the lack of education. I would urge you as a Christian and as a father to visit those detention centers where the children are being held and make sure that the conditions are up to the values that we hold in this country.
So you guys have thrown a lot at me, and I see we got 30 seconds left here, but let me say,
you're
number one,
you can go long.
I'd like to pick up on this theme because I think it's really important. We do have to strike a balance, of course, between enforcing our laws. We don't want to dehumanize people. That is the balance. That, look, law enforcement, what I'd say about this, law enforcement is always inherently not a very pretty process, especially when you're dealing sometimes with violent people, with people who are resisting arrest. Some of the people that I've been told by
like
the
Alex
media
Preddy
were completely
and Renee
peaceful,
Good.
Had never violated any laws. You actually look into the record and you find out that those people were actually being violent, or they did have a criminal record. They had a sex trap conviction.
Don't have criminal records. So the majority of people that ICE is rounding up and taking out of their homes from their families, they're separating families, they're using children as bait.
But
the majority are not criminals.
Can I respond to that? Let me just say this. Okay. So you talk about the children. Here's what I'd say. Do we know that during the last administration, we had...
Just for your man hate, some more. My first girlfriend was getting stalked by a 30-year-old man from Korea that would fly all the way to Eastern Europe and talking about how he wants to marry her when she was like 17. She had him blocked and he kept sending gifts to your address years later. It meant to be crazy. I need you to send me every single DM between your girlfriend and him, and if she was ever nice to him even one time, that actually doesn't count as stalking at all. And you're going to be sued for defamation. So email me every single communication, by the way.
Tens of thousands of children who were sex trafficked by the cartels, who were brought into our country in profoundly dangerous and predatory conditions.
Let's talk about this administration.
But here's the point. Unless you enforce the border, you invite that kind of conduct. You think that our immigration policies are inhumane based on the reporting of one person with a political bias. What I'm telling you is...
Well, I agree with you, and socially you're correct. Can you also talk about the damage and unspoken harm that men feel like they can't speak out because it is socially one-sided? Sure. Yeah, it's not good. But if you want male-to-female abuse, that's taken seriously. If you want female-to-male abuse to be taken as seriously as male-to-female abuse, then you have to have completely congruent views on sexual promiscuity. If you don't have congruent views on that, you don't deserve to have congruent views on sexual abuse. You just don't. You shouldn't. It should be totally different. The two things, those have to be congruent. If you look at a woman who's fucked 50 dudes and you think that that's way more gross than like a guy who's maybe fucked 50 women or whatever, or there's a significantly different moral weight there in your mind, then you have no right to say that like men that get, you know, molested by women or whatever should be treated the same as women that get molested by women. It's not even remotely the same thing. But if you view the sex thing differently, you have to view the sexual assault thing differently. Like, sorry, it's just way.
Is it inhumane?
I don't make the rules. Okay, God just commands them. And then I read them to you.
To allow cartels to sex traffic people across our border.
Please hold on.
I appreciate that. We're going to get you back, Ayla.
We're coming back with more with the vice president. And I've got questions for
you. Thank you.
We are back with Vice President J.D. Vance. Sir, you come from a poor community.
Sure.
You know how hard it has been for people. Two things. You talk a lot about your Catholic faith. But the Catholic faith says we take in immigrants. We take in people.
Did she say basically any? I think she said like, oh, that's not true one time. Am I wrong? Or is like Whoopi, like historically, she's kind of like the most like out there wokey person or was in the past? I've only ever seen like kind of clips and I've probably a few episodes, not that many. It's kind of crazy that she had like nothing to say through all of this, but whatever.
Who don't have or who are having a hard time. How do you justify both things?
So let me say first a couple things, Whoopi. So number one, the book is actually way less political than you might think if you were just watching this. Because obviously we're getting into the issues of the day.
Right.
95% of the book is really not about politics. I kind of have to write about politics because I'm the vice president. But I want to answer your question.
Right.
So fundamentally, if you think about what is immigration enforcement, immigration is law enforcement. It's somebody who has broken a law. A law enforcement officer has to show up and enforce that law.
Mm-hmm. I hate my wife. It's not. It's really not. Like, immigration and the concept of like controlling borders and everything else is a fundamentally different thing than interior like enforcement of domestic law. These are two, they're just totally different conceptual things. Like, there's going to be some overlap with the way that immigration enforcement might look to ordinary law enforcement, but these are totally separate areas of.
Now, inherently, sometimes that process is not always going to be pretty if you capture a video clip of it, in the same way that if you arrest somebody for committing a violent or a nonviolent crime, sometimes it's not always pretty. What I'm saying is the Catholic faith mm-hmm. is actually very, it's, I think it strikes the right balance here. Mm-hmm. It says the Christian faith, I think this is true of Protestants and Catholics, that you can have borders.
Yeah.
You're allowed to enforce your borders. That means the law enforcement piece of it. But you also have to take certain precautions and certain care. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And again, you know, your argument is fundamentally, Whoopi, you're saying that we don't strike the right balance. I disagree with you about how we apply that, but nobody hopefully is saying we're not allowed to have a border.
No,
what I'm saying is that in order for us to actually enforce the law, You can't set a standard that says you're not allowed to deport anyone
right.
unless they've committed a violent crime. You've got to enforce the law equally.
They're not pushing back hard enough. It's just like a nice, cute setup. He just gets to answer cleanly on almost everything. There's very little pushback.
Let me do my follow-up.
Let me do my follow-up.
Yes, I do. Because you were talking about people. What did black people do to this administration that has allowed it to really stigmatize folks of color? And you know how hard it is. You have folks of color in your family.
Sure.
So when you see, you know, things, the Emmett Till stuff coming down or them doing all kinds of removal of information of right. black heroes, how does that sit with you?
Well, what exactly are you talking about, Whoopi? Because you just,
I'm talking
I know
about
Till
this.
Was,
I can tell
was
you
kid.
All this. Yeah.
No, I want to know what
you,
she's,
you don't know
I
what I'm talking about.
Your actual
so in a lot of the museums that just there's so many.
I'm so sorry. Also, the black community has suffered greatly by losing a lot of their cultural civil leadership or whatever. Holy fuck, that's Jesus Christ. Sorry. Oh my God.
They're taking down the actual history that happened in this country. Slavery happened. All kinds of stuff happened. And it seems that it has been very easy for this administration to remove that and also to denigrate black folks who have worked their behinds off to get this American dream. How do you, I mean, you know better.
Let me, so, you know, so Sonny, that was actually a very helpful intervention, because I think the story you're talking about is where, you know, allegedly the administration is holding back the appointments of people based on skin color.
I've seen
the story.
A host of things. I'm talking about black history getting erased from public spaces. Black voter districts are being dismantled. Black leaders are being sidelined from our ranks. Where do Americans of color fit in this vision? Because it doesn't seem like we fit.
I think, Sonny, my view...
And if I may, since October of last year, there's been
some... I don't care. Okay, we're almost ready to play games. I beat it on normal yesterday. I got all my weapons. Okay. People of color is the most meaningless group of anything in the history of all of... Even for American standards, this is a brainless... You can't even group all black people together. I think you have to draw a hard line between African-Americans and, like, black immigrants, right? This, the struggle, and then also, I don't know if I spoke about this on stream. I had a conversation, I don't know if this is on stream or off stream, a few weeks ago. Do you know that, I think I figured this out. Do you know why Hispanics are always super fucking woke compared to, like, every other polling group when you poll people on political shit? Hispanics, you know, supported Bernie and all this fucking shit. Do you know why? It's because white people... Because people like me or Pixie write, like, oh yeah, Hispanic on the thing, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm fucking a socialist, rah, rah, rah. Bruh, I'm not saying that everybody doesn't have struggles in this country, but the struggles can be very unique and, like, very different from group to group, and to throw all of them in the same bin is just it makes the conversation meaningless, right? Like a Mexican immigrant in this country, or an illegal immigrant family, or, you know, people from South America that live here in Miami Beach. I don't know why I'm saying this. It's obviously true. When you throw it all together, it just makes the conversation impossible or meaningless, you know?
Something like 6,668 refugees allowed into the country. All but three were white South Africans.
So, first of all, I'm very skeptical of that number, because we have a lot of different immigration pathways in the United States of America. But let me just address Whoopi's point. Look, first of all, you asked the question, and maybe you don't believe this coming from me, but I think everybody is welcome in our political coalition. Frankly, even if you didn't vote for us, everybody is welcome in our country, so long as you're an American citizen with the duties and the legal obligations and rights to be here. But Whoopi, let me just give you an example of this. Okay, so you say that we're anti-minority or anti-black.
No, I didn't say that. I asked. See? Well,
okay. You say that we're anti-minority, but we have two black people. Is it right now that there are zero black members of Congress who are Republican right now? Has that already happened, or is it going to be after the next set of races, because the ones that are black are going to not run again? They're all retiring? So maybe in the next session, maybe there'll be some? Like, brah. Wait. Where's my bra button? When I stop using it, I forget where the buttons are, and then I don't know where they are, and then I don't use it, and then it's a horrible endless cycle.
Okay, fine. Be fair. Fair.
Don't start any stuff with me, man. Don't get me in trouble. Don't start that stuff with me.
I misinterpreted your question. Let me answer your actual question there. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, I think, okay, look at Washington, D.C. One of the most democratic and one of the blackest, by share of population, blackest cities in the United States of America, has seen a radical decrease in violent crimes and sexual assaults and in murders. We have tried to take the crime issue seriously, in part because we believe everybody, whether you're black or white or rich or poor, deserves to live in a safe neighborhood.
Does the crime step in? This is not about crime. This is about...
Lost their jobs.
Right. This is about human rights.
What you're saying is... We got to do more on the economy.
And black history has been erased from public
spaces. Black history is not erased from public spaces.
That's true. We do have to get to Iran when we get back.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, we celebrate black history. We celebrate all American history in this administration. You guys might be skeptical of this, but I promise you.
I have to go to break. Anna, God, please. We have more with Vice President J.D. Vance when we come back. Don't do that. We're back with Vice President J.D. Vance. Joy has the next question.
Okay, so in the book, Mr. Vice President, you make a mea culpa of sorts for calling Democrats childless.
Do you not think that Whoopi and other leaders like that actually are worse or just bad for the discourse? I think that somebody brought this up a while ago. I haven't read on this topic, so just take everything I say with grains of salt. But we really this concept of solidarity, I think, on the progressive left. Maybe this is an intentional hijacking by the Marxists. Maybe I'll view that way in 10 years. But I think solidarity is supposed to mean that even if you're in a separate interest group, you can still have, like, some shared interests of equality, or you still stand for the rights of people in another group. And solidarity was, like, all of these different groups kind of, like, affirming each other's rights for whatever they were going for. But nowadays, it feels like solidarity – not nowadays, I'm sorry. For the past, like, decade, it feels like solidarity became everybody has to all want and champion the exact same shit, and everybody's individual stuff gets kind of washed away. And it doesn't really – it just doesn't work when you do that, because you lose the ability to speak with granularity about like the different issues that different groups of people face, because it all just comes washed into the same thing. I think it might also make it easy for other things to kind of like sweep away your whole union of solidarity to people as well, right? Like everything now is washed away with fucking Israel Palestine. If I was a fucking trans person who just lost healthcare, or if I was a woman who has to be, I've never seen this happen in a TV show or something. Or maybe I just didn't think about it, or maybe I just wasn't old enough, or maybe I just didn't hate men enough when it happened. But watching that one 17-year girl on the pit, the anxiety when I realized that she was 17 and I still wanted to smash her. No, I'm just kidding. When I realized she was 17 and that the woman that was in there wasn't her mom, and that her mom was going to be coming, and then when she came, she wanted to pull her out. And it was like the idea that like, oh, you are going to be like in forced incubation status, that's just a crazy thing. If I was like at a protest for that and I saw that half these motherfuckers were waving around Israel-Palestine flags, I would kill myself. I would right there. I would kill myself. I wouldn't be able to handle it. Like, excuse me? When you're watching, oh, another insane example of that was, I should remember who said this. I don't think it was the Harvard lawyer. Who said that? It was in some congressional hearing. I feel like it was a black lawyer lady. Am I making this up? Where she was like, we call them birthing people, or we call abortion a birthing people's rights issue, not like a woman's issue. And I'm like, bruh. Seriously? Dude, I can't. I don't know, man. That would be it for me. I would have to jump.
Cat ladies.
Oh, man. Okay. I lost boneheaded comment.
You say that in the book, that it was boneheaded, which it was.
Thank you.
What were you thinking when you said that?
Well, so Joy said we were off air, that I'm fine.
We're back with Vice President J.D. Vance. Joy has the next question.
Okay, so in the book, Mr. Vice President, you make a mea culpa of sorts for calling Democrats childless cat ladies.
Oh, man. Okay. I lost boneheaded comment.
You say that in the book, that it was boneheaded, which it was.
Thank you.
What were you thinking when you said that?
So Joy said when we were off air that I'm fine, which I think is about the best endorsement that I'm going to get out of Joy Behar for Republican. Thank you. I appreciate that. Graded on a curve here at The View. But, you know, I guess one of the things that I try to do, and I'm always, you know, all of us are always learning. You know, you said you were a lapsed Catholic. I'm a bad Catholic. I think all of us, that's why we need grace as Christians, is because we recognize that there are certain things we got to work on.
Right.
But here's what I'd say about that. So did that comment actually shed light on something and start a discussion, or did it just close people down? And when I make a comment that just closes people down, instead of trying to appreciate the point that I make, that's a mistake, right? And
okay.
That's on me to do better.
Okay,
the point that I'd say on that, Joy, is I do think, in a very subtle sometimes in a more profound way, I think our country has become more anti...
Wait, what's wrong with saying birthing people? Because I think that this... In 2026, we should have a more holistic understanding that aside from the 53 different pronouns, there's also people that identify as furries now who are so anthropomorphized, they wouldn't want to be called people. So we should say birthing entities. That's what I would say.
A family and more anti-child. It's harder to travel.
Right,
it's harder to go to a restaurant.
Children, Mr. Okay. Vice President, you know your child, grandchild is, or your child is arriving.
No grandbabies yet.
Not yet. We're very excited for you and Usha.
Oh, they got him. Oh, my God.
His new book, Communion, Finding My Way Back to Faith, is available now. Scan the QR code on your screen to purchase a copy, and we will be right back.
Thank you, guys.
Listen, thanks for...
I don't think solidarity is the issue. Whoopi would rather argue about why the ballroom is bad or black history being erased while not fighting on the true civic issues. Am I brain broken, or is everyone just algo brain melted now? I think the algo is poisoning a lot of people, but what are you going to do, man? Destiny, you're sewing out. That's how language evolves. People try things. If people don't like it, we move on. Examples, Latinx and manspreading is not a thing anymore. Cisgender stuck. Virtue signaling stuck. Check your privilege. I can't tell if that's a troll comment or not. The Latinx thing was stupid because it was white people saying that the Spanish language was sexist. Number one. So when it comes from an outside group, it's already weird. Two, I think that manspreading is still a thing. People don't use the term as much. Wow, Kay from YouTube. Thanks for the 10 gifted tier 2 subs. Do you think a new app with your algo suggestion would blow up? Or is the only way you think the algo stuff would change is by enforcing laws? No, what? The algo stuff that's now is there because it's because that's what people want. That's what people want.
Chairman, thanks to all of the witnesses for being here. Before, I want to visit with you, Ms. Maskey, but before I do, I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue.
That this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning?
Because
we can't talk about it?
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant. So you're denying that trans people exist?
Thank and that leads to.
Can you even really truly carry a child on hormones? If you're on TRT as a trans man, is that like a healthy thing to even do? I feel like you would have to stop for a while to. I don't know, that's beyond my
violence. Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you,
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this?
Where no.
They're told that they're
to
opening up people to violence.
We have a good time in my class. You should join.
I bet
you might learn a lot.
Wow, I would learn a lot. I've learned a lot just
in
this exchange.
Absolutely
extraordinary.
Yep.
Ms. Matsky, let me ask you something.
Sorry, actually, my trans medicalism was coming out there. I guess you don't need to be on hormones to be a trans man. You could just be a woman who presents as a woman and everything else 100% the same and just identify as a trans man. My bad. Let me check my privilege.